As you dive into this teaching from High Point Church, we pray that it will help you grow in your faith as you believe in, belong to, and become more like Jesus. If these messages bless you, would you consider giving back in support of this ministry? You can give and learn more about High Point at www.highpoint.church.
I'm standing outside Glenbard South High School in Glen Ellen, Illinois. This is where it all began for our church. I remember when my wife Jody was calling nearly every high school in the Chicagoland area to try to find a place for us to meet. This was the only one that was willing to work with us. They had a Christian principal who was ready to let us get started in the theater that's directly behind me. I'm so grateful for all those who invested themselves in this church in the early days, as we weren't really sure what was going to happen, whether it was going to take root or not. But God used their commitment and sacrifice to grow something out of nothing. And that something is now reaching thousands in the Chicagoland area and beyond. I can now, 20 years later, understand what the prophet meant when he said, "Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I'm going to do something in your days that you would not believe even if you were told." This place, it has special meaning for me. It's where we used to do our baptism services each summer. I remember baptizing 90 people here in one Sunday, with one of them being my oldest daughter, Allie. The service started at 10 a.m. and we weren't done till after 1:30. I mean, people just kept coming and coming to get baptized. In this place, over 7 years, we baptized over 500 people. God infused the new life necessary to get this local church going and growing, and he hasn't stopped since. So what is the deal with baptism? Who's it for? Why is baptism so important? That's what I want to talk to you about today. If you have a Bible, open it up to Acts chapter 8. We're taking a break from our study in 1 Peter just for today's message. I want to write something on your heart that will help you to better understand what baptism is all about. Whether you've been baptized, need to be baptized, or want to help someone who is considering baptism, here it is in a sentence. It's a one-point message. I'm calling it the silver bullet of baptism. It reveals the reasons for the hidden hope that baptism brings. Every Christian needs to be baptized because it's totally biblical, it's extremely personal, it's immediately applicable, and it's spiritually meaningful. Let's take a look at each phrase one at a time. By totally biblical, I mean that it's not something that man invented. It's not an idea or concept that some group of pastors or priests came up with on their own. This comes straight from the Word of God. And he tells us in his Word to get baptized. So let me set up this message. I'll start by introducing the players. We have a pastor named Philip who is on his way back from Jerusalem. And God redirects him to take another route, one that is far less traveled. We have an Ethiopian eunuch. He works directly for the queen. He's not a Christian, but he's returning from a worship service. He's reading the Bible, and he wants someone to explain the Bible to him. That's when Pastor Phil, if I can call him that, steps in. Coincidence? I think not. Notice what Pastor Phil asks in the middle of verse 30. "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, the passage of scripture that he was reading was like this: "Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I asked, does this prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Wow. Talk about an open door. This is what's happened. The Ethiopian eunuch was reading from Isaiah, and he didn't understand what the book of Isaiah was all about. Isaiah was prophesying about the coming Christ. And in verse 35, it says, Peter opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture, he told them the good news about Jesus. Let's stop on that for a moment. The good news is the gospel. It's the truth that Jesus took your place on the cross to pay the penalty of your sin, to satisfy the demands of a holy God. And because of that perfect sacrifice, we each need to respond to Jesus in repentance and faith. We say it a lot around here. It's as simple as the ABCs. A, admit that you're a sinner. B, believe that Jesus went to the cross for your sin and rose from the grave to give you eternal life. C, confess Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord. I often say it's simple, but it's not easy. But I wonder how Pastor Phil explained it. The text doesn't tell us. It doesn't give us all the specifics on what he said or how he said it. But it does emphasize a person's need to understand the gospel for themselves and receive it by faith, and then get baptized. And sometimes, if I'm honest, we as pastors and leaders, we like to leave the baptism out for later. That's the part we don't mention. We convince ourselves that it's too hard to explain, or maybe it carries too much baggage, especially if the person has already been baptized as an infant, but not Pastor Phil. He doesn't leave it out. How do I know? Look how the Ethiopian eunuch responds in verse 36. It says, and as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here it is. What prevents me from being baptized? Answer, nothing. At least now that you're a Christian. This brings us up to our next phrase. Baptism is extremely personal. This isn't something that's to be taken lightly or carelessly, but thoughtfully and reverently. It's between the person who made the decision of faith and God himself, nobody else. See, this is to be the first step of obedience for someone after they come to Christ. It's how they profess their allegiance to him. That's why the Ethiopian is wanting to be baptized so suddenly. Pastor Phil must have taught him this. Why else would he be asking to get baptized in a puddle by the side of the road? So Jesus was baptized too. It's recorded in three of the four Gospels. And after he was baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River, a voice from heaven declared, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." I don't think it's stretching things too far to say that God is always pleased with his sons and daughters when they choose to get baptized. What makes me think I can say that? Because it's a step of obedience. And God is always pleased when we, his children, obey his word. So let me ask you this. Since Jesus did it, and we call ourselves Christians, and we're followers of Christ, and because Jesus tells us to do it to others, baptize them in Matthew 28, why wouldn't we do it? Why wouldn't we follow in his footsteps and get baptized too? Seems pretty simple to me. That aligns with the entirety of the New Testament teaching on the subject. See, the Greek word baptism, it simply means to be immersed in water. It's a picture for every follower of Christ who chooses to be baptized. When you do it, you're identifying with the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when you're going down to the water, it's a picture of the old life that has been crucified with Christ. And as you come up out of the water, it's a picture of the new life that you have in him. It's an outward sign of an inward commitment. For the abundance of clarity, baptism, it doesn't get you saved. It just lets everyone else know that you are saved. It's your public profession of faith. So when should a Christian do it? When should they get baptized? That's what our next phrase is all about. Baptism is immediately applicable. Notice the three words at the end of verse 38. It says, he baptized him. The Ethiopian eunuch, he didn't wait. He didn't say, I'll think about it. He didn't ask the pastor if he had some additional resources for further study, if there was an upcoming class on the calendar. He didn't ask if he could schedule his baptism the next time his grandmother would be in town. He didn't say, hey, I need to get my act together first. No, why? Because he knew that the reason we come to Jesus is that we don't have our act together. He didn't say any of those things. He just did it. He made no excuses. It's pretty simple, really. We have a tendency to make it very complicated. He became a Christian. He saw a pool of water. He asked to be baptized because he had confidence in who he was in Christ. That's what the Bible teaches. There are so many places that we could turn to see this. I want to take a moment and turn back to Acts chapter 8, and I'll show you one of them. Pastor Phil, he's at it again. He's leading people to Christ. He's baptizing them. He's doing it so fast, if you're not careful, you can confuse the order, but don't let that be you. Verse 12 says, but Philip, when they believed him, preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And then verse 13 goes on to say, even Simon himself believed, and after being baptized, he continued with Philip. Here we see what the scripture teaches. Belief, then baptism. Not baptism, then belief. Too many people, they get this out of order. I mean, Jody and I did. We both got baptized as infants before we really believed. But then when we finally did believe the gospel for ourselves, we got baptized together at ages 26 and 27. Now, we don't fault our parents for baptizing us as infants. I mean, we don't even remember it. But that's the point. Baptism is something to be remembered by the person doing it. See, our parents just did what they were taught to help us grow spiritually. So we both choose to be thankful for what they did. But when we made the decision to get baptized, it was because it was our decision to make, not somebody else's. It was our opportunity to make a public profession of faith as a step of obedience in response to what he had done for us. Because the Bible teaches belief, then baptism. See, baptism can be compared to my wedding ring. This is the symbol that says, I stood at an altar and I said, I do to Jody. I profess my love and commitment to her, and I've never regretted it. Baptism is kind of like the same thing. It's the symbol that shows you said, I do to Jesus, that you professed your love and commitment to him for who he is and what he's done in your life. Now, if I take my wedding ring off, it doesn't mean that I'm no longer married. Of course not. It's just a symbol. Same is true of baptism. It's not what makes you a Christian. It just lets everyone else know you are. Last phrase, baptism, it's spiritually meaningful. Look at verse 39. I love this. And when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more. I mean, I've baptized a lot of people over the years, and I'm still waiting to be lifted up out of the water, that last one, just like Philip. But it hasn't happened yet. I'm still believing God for it. But seriously, think Philip ever forgot that day? God redirecting him by the Spirit to take another route, then running into a guy and leading him to Christ, and then baptizing him? No way. Or how about his new buddy, the Ethiopian eunuch? He found himself reading the Bible and having a hard time interpreting it. And then all of a sudden, a pastor shows up to help, leads him to Christ, and baptizes him. There's no way he ever forgot that day. Notice how he left it. At the end of verse 39, he says, he went on his way rejoicing. That's what baptism does in the body of Christ. It makes us all rejoice because it's our opportunity to celebrate what God is doing. And these are some of the most special memories over the years as I've baptized people, even right here in this place. I've heard their stories. It's their opportunity to verbalize for themselves what God has done and what he continues to do. So let me say it again. Every Christian needs to be baptized because it's totally biblical, extremely personal, immediately applicable, and spiritually meaningful. If you're not a Christian, what are you waiting for? Today can be your day. It's as simple as the ABCs. The scripture says that today is the day of salvation, meaning don't wait any longer. But if you are a Christian and you haven't been baptized as a believer, what are you waiting on? This guy just took away all your excuses. He's the poster child for adult water baptism. So permit me to dig a little deeper. As a genuine Christian, when it comes to baptism, it's either a matter of spiritual ignorance, as in you don't know. That's what it was like for Jody and me. We didn't know when we first became Christians. And I'm embarrassed to say it took us 3 years to finally do it, but we did it and we never regretted it. Or it's a matter of spiritual pride, as in you don't know, but you don't think it applies to you. For whatever reason, you've convinced yourself that you don't need to do it. It's not for you. Maybe you're thinking because you've been following Christ for so long that to do it now would be embarrassing. I would just say that I've never been embarrassed when I do what God wants, no matter how long it takes to get on board. So which is it? Is it a matter of spiritual ignorance or spiritual pride? there aren't really any more other options to that when it comes to baptism for the believer. And I'm sorry to say this, as a result of listening to this message today, nobody, I repeat, nobody can claim spiritual ignorance anymore. How come? Because I just told you, and now you know. So the only thing left for you to do, if you're a believer and you haven't been baptized, is to get baptized, or it's a case of spiritual pride. Don't let that be you. The scripture says, humble yourself before the Lord and he will exalt you. Make the choice today to exalt him in the waters of baptism. And believe me, as I've done it with countless numbers of others, some standing in this exact same spot, nobody has ever come back and said they regretted it. I've heard it said, baptism is faith in action. Make sure you put your faith in action by being baptized as a believer in Christ, as the Bible says.